We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Here we are again, happy as can be. All good pals, and we hope reasonably good company. We being, as ever, John Amis and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John Amis, here's a first question for you. Which literary hero does this music describe? Literary.
It's not me.
No. it's a little bit like the my coat. Rough tweed or corsair.
Sorry about that. Yes,
but it is the Corsair Overture by Berlioz.
Yes, and the literary hero by a book by what?
Probably Walter Scott.
No, the other one.
The other one. Who's the other one?
The one who to the Dark Tower came.
Byron.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Byron. Yeah. So really, I think it must be half a mark out of one, mustn't it?
Okay.
You've got Le Corsair, but not Byron. Previn and the London Symphony Orchestra playing it. Frank, your turn. For you, something of a contest between harmony and invention. Your question, though, is what time of year is it? Give you five choices.
It's I know this very well. It's Vivaldi's Four Seasons, or one of them.
Yes.
And I love this very much. And the it's not summer.
No, that's right.
Because I know summer.
A bit later than that.
Well, it's autumn or winter, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I didn't say a lot later. I said a bit later than that.
Oh, it's autumn.
Yes,
jolly. Without help,
without any help, yes. I did drop the line that it was something of a contest between harmony and invention, which John would get that point, because that was Vivaldi's original title, wasn't it? The Contest Between Harmony and Invention.
It's a better title than the Four
yes,
Seasons,
really,
too.
Yes.
Why did you say there was a choice of five there?
Well, just to be difficult.
Oh, I see.
Because you know, I know it teases.
In the New York garment industry, they say that there are five seasons: spring, summer, winter, autumn, and off.
That's nice.
Yes. Well, do you think we give him the mark?
Yes, I think we do, yes.
Nice recording there by the virtuosi di Roma. Ian Wallace, a familiar clog dance. Which ballet score does this come from?
Yes, it's La Fille Mal Gardée.
Yes.
Which obviously means that it's French. And that conjures up a number of possible composers like Adon.
No, try H.
H?
Yes.
Oh, Hark the Herald.
That's right. Yes, the Herald. That's right, the composer of Zampa, as a matter of fact. Ballet with choreography by Sir Frederick Ashton. Lanchbury there with the Royal Opera House Orchestra. You've got the mark. Dennis Norden, a little jazz for you. Some jazz musicians never quite play the tune, though it's there somewhere, very often lurking about. This is Bud Freeman playing what? Listen carefully for hints. Thank you. nearly played it, didn't
yes.
he?
Da, 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 da.
Yes.
That's
which
the one.
Is,
I found a new baby.
I found a new baby, yes, Spencer Williams' tune. It was played by, incidentally, by Bud Freeman with his Summa Cum Laude, if I pronounce it correctly, yeah. orchestra, which means, as you know, of the highest...
Passing out with the highest honours.
Laudatory praise, yes. The title, apparently, was suggested by Eddie Condon's wife, who was an advertising copywriter. And she said, why don't you call your band your Summa Cum Laude Orchestra? And he did. Bud Freeman, anyway. I found a new baby, and you get the mark.
Summa Cum Laude. It's rather nice, isn't it? Mm. Summa Cum Softe.
Yes.
Actually, Jack Benny did a joke once about an orchestra, which he said was Summa Cum Lause.
Let's try you on another set of questions.
Summertime.
John. In the composer's own words, it was Tom Jones, a comedy for music. But I think of it more as an opera, first produced at Sadler's Wells in 1976. 1976. Who was the composer?
Stephen Oliver.
Right.
Rather remarkable. He's only 26, 27, and he's already written about 18 or 19 operas.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. It really gets the libretti from. That's the problem, isn't it? Finding the books to write them
well,
to.
Well, yeah, I suppose in Fielding,
thank you very much, says Frank Muir, because that's his question. Frank, Fielding's Tom Jones was the novel, of course, on which that opera was based. What was the novel's full name when it was published in 1749?
Tom Jones, comma, a foundling.
Yes, nearly. The something of Tom Jones, a foundling.
Oh, the history.
That's right. The History of Tom Jones, a foundling was the full title. That's right. In those days, a very crisp, short, brief title.
Indeed it was. Yeah.
Two marks to you. Ian, a comic opera, Tom Jones. You know the composer. Could you put a date to its first production? Oh, let's have the composer first.
The composer was Edward German.
That's right, yes.
And have been 1900-something.
Yes, good.
Sort of thing. Ooh, I'll draw a bow at a venture and say 1908.
Quite near enough. The first production at the Apollo Theatre, London, in 1907. Very good. Oh. The book, the adaptation of the Fielding original, was by A.M. Thompson and Robert Courtnage, of course, was the father of Cicely Courtnage.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. You've got the marks. Dennis, we turn finally to a pop singer named Tom Jones, though he was born Thomas Thomas Jones Woodward of Glamorgan. What was his first million record seller and when? Tom Jones.
Well, it was the... Tom Jones was a 60s phenomenon, wasn't he?
Yes, mid-60s.
So it would be about... Yeah, I was going to say about the middle of the 60s. It was... it was... They booked him to sing What's New Pussycat on the strength of...
Yes.
His already existing hit.
In the same year.
It's not unusual.
It's not unusual.
Yeah.
Both of them in the same year, actually. And the year being...
Well, the middle of the... About 65, 66.
Yes, 1965. Those are your two marks. And on to the next round. John Amos, over to you again. What begins with this fugue?
Surprisingly, it's Puccini,
yes.
Madame Butterfly.
Yes, and it reminds me always of the Bartered Bride overture. You know that's a bit like the Bartered Bride. Yep, Butterfly, Puccini, first production of that, 1904. Two marks to you.
It wasn't a bride though, was she?
Ah well, stand by for further announcements, Frank. Three characters. I wonder if you can tell me something about, say, one of them. Miss Nimble Cloud, Ray of Morning Sun, and the Aromatic One.
Miss Nimble Cloud,
yes.
Ray of Morning Sun, also featured in a song by Julie Andrews. Dough, the stuff that goes into bread... Ray
of morning sun.
A bit of morning sun. Me, a name, I call myself.
Etc. Yes. Well, that would do, yes. Just for the record, they were, in fact, Butterfly's servants. They were respectively maid, cook, and butler, mentioned in Act 1. Ian, I need hardly remind you that there's much superb romantic music in Butterfly, for example. Callas there, Nikolai Gedda. But your question, Ian, concerns a rather less emotional bit. When Gedda, in Act One, sings about scorning all risks, sprezzando rischi, what is the line that rhymes with it? Sprezzando rischi?
It rhymes with whiskey.
Yes.
Something punch and
yes.
whiskey.
Yes. Try a light, white-coloured drink.
Milk?
Yes, milk, punch. Or whiskey.
Yes,
you got the mark.
I remember the whiskey bit, I'm afraid that's all.
Let's just hear that passage.
Milk punch or whiskey.
Milk punch or whiskey.
A lot of singers actually rather blur over that line because they're rather afraid of getting a laugh at that particular point.
I'm not surprised.
Did I tell you the story before about a friend of mine who was playing the part of Madame Butterfly in Australia, and it was a production where they actually needed to have a child, not just a sort of little dummy dolly. And the child was ill at the last moment, and they tried to find a child everywhere, couldn't. And then somebody remembered that there was a circus in town, and there was a fairly young dwarf. So they hired this fairly young dwarf, who was a rather healthy lad of about 25. And in the last scene, she... forgetting that it wasn't the usual child, she clasped this 25-year-old dwarf to her ample bosom, and she kept on doing it, and he started getting very, very interested. And eventually he went more or less berserk, and they had to pull the curtain down.
Dennis, Madame Butterfly, though herself by name Lepidopterus, of course, had a special interest in ornithology. What was that? What was her special interest in birds?
Well, Pinkerton gave her the bird. He left her with a minor. There were she got rooked.
Yes,
I've simply been waiting.
You have your
marks,
but never mind. Yes,
to come through, and I now have my card marked. It said, "He said he'd return when the robins nest."
Yes,
that's right.
How couldn't I put it better myself? You get your marks, as Butterfly herself insisted, it would all come to pass as I tell you. In the lead, just slightly at the moment, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. As for the next four questions, in each case the answer is in the song lyrics, the words of the song. Two marks for the correct answer, but, gentlemen, a mark knocked off if you sing instead of saying the answer. You are not permitted to sing. John, you first. When Frankie shot Johnny, who was the third party?
Please, sir, he's singing mentally.
Yes, he is.
So he left her for another.
Yes. Well, there was a third party. It was a triangle.
No message coming through. No message coming through.
She caught a fly in another song.
I can't.
But Burlies.
Burlies.
Now, I really can't help, can I? The audience, who was it?
Mr. Christian.
No, who was it? Anybody in the audience know? Who was the third party? Frankie, Johnny, and...
No,
Nellie Bly.
Yes. John, you just got it before they did, I think. Did you think
Nellie Bly.
Yes, did you think of it your
yes,
very
I
self?
Thought of it. Yes. I suddenly remember that wonderful little cartoon, Stephen Bezustov. Do you remember that?
Yes. He went with Nellie Bly. Mm. Yes, you just got it in time, so you get the 2 marks. 2 because you got it right but didn't sing it.
The name of a dinghy.
Frank, where do troubles melt? Like lemon drops.
Troubles melt like lemon drops.
Oh, he's smart. He's going to say...
Over the rainbow.
Yes, over the rainbow. That's right.
An unsung hero, am I?
Ian, on St. Stephen's Day, there was a really rotten frost with the snow evenly distributed. How about the moon?
Deep and crisp and... Not the moon.
No, no, not the... No.
Crisp and even.
We don't have deep, even
brightly
moons.
Brightly shone the moon that night.
Night. How
though
nice.
The frost was cruel.
Yes, that's right. 2 marks to you. Dennis, yes, Dennis. What do buffalo, deer and antelope do, respectively, on the range?
Well, it's very good for it, actually. actually, they do what I do to a song. The buffalo roam.
That's right.
And the deer and the antelope play.
Yes, nice yes. Distinction. Yes. 2 marks to you. Let's move on to the subject of themes and musical thumbprints. John, I take it you've noticed that our signature tune has been refurbished. You can't beat a nice new furbish, I will say. Mm. Listen to it. It's not the end of the programme. Just listen to the music and see if you can identify the musical instruments, 8 of them, the musical instruments used.
Probably 3 trumpets on top.
Go on.
Well, bongos.
Go on again.
Probably some trombones.
Go on
string
again.
bass guitar.
Yep, bass guitar, yes. It's the first one you got absolutely right, actually, bass guitar. Anything else to add there?
No.
I propose to give you 1 mark out of 2, because bass guitar was right. There were 4 trumpets, not 3. No trombones. The bongos were, in fact, conga drums. And the other 2 instruments were electric guitar, apart from the bass guitar, and kabasa. That's the thing with a bead frame round it, which is a gourd with a bead frame round it. So, 1 mark out of 2.
Bongo, conga, what does it matter? Yeah.
Shmongo. Yeah. Frank, I sometimes refer to My Word as the sister programme of My Music.
Brother.
That's the signature tune that you must have heard literally hundreds of times. Composed that tune, Frank?
I know the name of it, at least I think I do, because it came out, as it were, during conversation sometime. It's called Alpine Valleys or something.
I'm trying to give you a hint. It's Alpine Pastures.
Well,
for which
yes.
You might expect a mark, I think.
I hope so, yes.
And I'll give you...
What were you whistling, though?
I'll give you the name. I was whistling Bella Margarita. Vivian Ellis.
Vivian Ellis,
Vivian Ellis
yes.
Wrote the tune. 1 mark out of 2.
Well, margaritas grow in the valley.
Yes, that's true. Ian, back to our own signature tune. The late Graham Daly composed it, but listen again to the old original recording we used for so many years and see if you can give me the instrumentation of that.
Yeah. Very moving to hear it again, isn't it? Well, that was surely played on something called a mellotron.
Yes.
Which is a whole lot of tapes inside.
Yes.
And you can press buttons and get boom, 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 and then you just play the top
yes.
line, or you can get...
Very good. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Ian's a kind of fellotron, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, an electronic keyboard instrument, the mellotron, using pre-recorded tapes, triggered off by the pressing of the keys. Extraordinary instrument. 2 marks to you. Dennis, while we're on signature tunes, this is one that you have reason to remember.
I can't tell you the instrumentation. I'll tell you the drummer's name was Styx Gibley.
That's not the question, unfortunately. Take it from here, of course. Take it from here, from which you and Frank wrote goodness knows how many scripts. Who composed that signature tune?
Who composed it? It was composed by Johnny Johnston, who went on to do much better things with commercial tunes, advertising tunes. We wrote the lyric, and the BBC couldn't understand the title. They kept saying, but what does Take It From Here mean?
Yes. I got news for you. On the record label, you are not mentioned. It says that the song is by Muir and Johnston.
My solicitors will turn this turn this place into a bowling alley.
Does that mean that royalty should have wafted my will?
they should have accrued a bit by now. Yes.
No accruing at all has happened.
Yes. In this final round, we have some singing. The panellists take it in turns to try their hand at a party piece. That's what it amounts to. This week, all the songs have something to do with birds or animals. Well, call them creatures, to be on the safe side. John, your creature is a bird, the swallow. A song about a swallow. You've got several possibilities to choose from. So please choose one. A swallow.
Yes. Mine's a folk song. Mm-hmm. She's like the swallow that flies so high. She's like the river that never runs dry. She's like the sunshine on the lee shore. I love my love, and love is no more.
Wasn't squeaky at all.
No.
Frank, another bird. How about the skylark?
Is that skylark?
Yes, that's a skylark. Yes. There's another one, I know.
There's an old-time musical song.
Yes.
Sung by a choir boy in white, which goes, if I can remember it, skylark, skylark, winging your way on high. Skylark, skylark, when you are up in the sky. If among the angels, Mummy, you should see. Ask her when she will come home again to poor dear Daddy and me.
Dennis, Albert Whelan had what he called a fable about a preacher and a bear. It was later adopted by people of other nationalities, yes. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You do.
All right, well, it's rather a long song, which I can't possibly remember the verse, but the verse was about a preacher in the southern states of America who went hunting on a Sunday when he should have been in church, and he suddenly encountered a bear who chased him, and he shinned up a tree, the preacher, that is, and the bear on the ground below. And then the chorus of the song, the preacher sang, "Oh, Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den, also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. Oh, Lordy, if you don't help me, for goodness sake, don't help that bear."
Yes. That's very, very interesting to me to hear that song, because...
You're a musician, and you wonder...
No, because it shows the wide gulf of subtlety between you and me, that you would remember that was the one you remembered, because I don't remember that at all, the words of that. But on the flip side of that record when I was a boy was a song called, also by Albert Whelan, called Never Have a Bath Till You Need One. And that appealed to me enormously. And I learnt that song and used to sing it at Boy Scout campfires about never have a bath till you need one and don't even have one then. And you see, you got that marvellous thing with all that biblical stuff in, and I just had that one simple message to deliver.
Well, actually, if you're on a sort of Albert Whelan fest, I'm sure there's some listeners will remember a song you used to sing called The Three Trees. There, and there.
Yes, that's right, yes. Well, Ian, not the bath song, but for you, we were doing animals, remember?
Mm. Yes, I do.
For you, a horse, a white horse, a white horse in. Okay?
The white horse in and the white horse in, there's joy the whole summer through. There's sunshine always in store there, for happiness stands at the door there. The days fly past, you must leave at last, but still, whatever you do, you'll hear when twilight is falling, the white horse calling to you.
I'm afraid White Horse Inn brings us to closing time. It's been a victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.